These are all going.
So Ted Gong came in yesterday specifically to give me a Chinese remedy. I looked at him, he said, eggs. I said, are these like chicken eggs in here? Or are they like egg from an emu or something? I don't know.
Can I introduce us since I didn't study up a lot of content. So I'll just kind of I'll be ornamental, but I could cue us up and good say ornamental. Today we're talking that's
good for me.
Financial planning for physicians.
Okay, before we get started, okay, where do I go to get my downloads? Where'd you go?
Just put your screen. Just put your finger in the middle of the screen. And pull down.
So from the top.
Pull, there you go. Now you got to put away your ring notification. So swipe. There you go. Oops.
Yeah. So swipe down.
Swipe down. Hey. No, this is what I'm saying here. Come here.
It just drives me crazy.
So you go like this. Oops. And then downloads, or you can search. So you should be able to put downloads. And then, oh, there it is. And then doodle-loop, whichever one you want.
All right. So let me do this.
So go back to the beginning. So swipe up, yeah. So anywhere in the screen, just swipe down a little bit.
It brings are we already recording? Box.
Okay. Now I got it. Thank you.
See?
All right. Thank you.
Are we already recording?
Yeah, driving me crazy.
This is really simple. Do you want to turn on your timer?
Yeah. So we have that timer too. We can, as we talk about, small talk, we can talk about how we read books. I don't think we talked about that before. Like, do you use Kindle?
Oh, yeah. What format? Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're fuzzy. Okay. Did you get your hair fixed?
I tried to.
You did. I know. Poor guy had to rush out of the house. Quick, put away the dogs. Come, save my family. Ta-da!
Did you go to the scene?
Yeah.
I didn't know how long it was. I knew it wasn't traumatic, but I didn't know how long it was going to take, so I thought he might take the kids and take them to school. Yeah.
Now, you've had an accident before, but this is probably the first time with a fam with the kids and stuff.
I had Noah Nepper in the car the last time. I had a little fender bender. That's when I bumped into that lady in front of me. She was very nice, but if she drove a Lexus, I just am attracted to like high quality SUVs. Stop being attractive. That's funny. Okay, let's not talk about that. Can we switch subjects?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, perfect.
Can I push go on the little timer, or at least both the timers?
Yep, I will. And I'm going to tell them we started at about, let's see, we're about 3 minutes in. Okay. So I have someone recently piqued my interest again in Audible. And because I find myself sitting down to read a book and maybe not getting through as much of it before I fall asleep, I have really renewed my interest in listening to books.
Audible.
I can find myself doing mundane tasks, me around the house, even sometimes if I'm at the gym and I'm just kind of doing a repeat exercise. And I can listen to books. And I've been able to, I think so far I've listened to maybe 4 or 5 books. So I love it. So do either one of you guys listen to books or do you read?
I'm starting because I've been starting. Okay. But for a long time I did Kindle books. I would read on a Kindle and I liked that. But I realized I couldn't write anything easily. And so then, Kindle has a way of highlighting and saving.
Yeah.
And I liked that Kindle would like save all of your highlights. You could just go back and look at just the things that you flagged, which is kind of neat. But lately I've been just reading regular books. But the last month I've done, I think, 2 audiobooks because you're doing audiobooks. But. How about you?
I think for me, I like the podcast, and I have this podcast I go to when I do my walks, but because of COVID and because of the thing that happened to me in January, I haven't been able to walk, so I kind of got out of the rhythm.
Yeah.
It's almost like discovering, Audible is like discovering that extra money in your pocket. It's like, oh, that's there. Like, hit the button and go, oh, look what they've got available to me. And I used to drive a lot more. I don't. I was always good when I did that. So it was great. So,
yeah, you kind of have to make an appointment with it. I'll find myself folding laundry, but it actually calms me down.
Well,
depending
on what you're listening to.
Right. And that's true. If I'm listening to something really detailed or something that I feel like I want to take notes about, then I would rather have it in print form still. But it just takes up so much room on your bookshelf. You know,
it's good.
It's like you got to give
it
away.
Still like a book because unlike Jeremiah, I like to write in them. I like to highlight it. And I read. Now, I don't highlight novels and nonfiction books. But But I'm taking on vacation, I'm taking the book by Irving Stone on, it's basically on, it's Abigail and John Adams.
Adams. Oh, yeah. Okay.
And it's the kind of their biography of that.
Historical fiction or nonfiction? No,
I think it's pretty much historical. And okay. It's it's obviously not bunned by them. But anyway, it's, and I'm it's taking it. But I started it.
Yeah.
Because I like his writing.
Okay.
And these are probably 30, 40 years old.
Yeah.
These books. But
well, when you're done with it, you can come back. We'll do a little book review.
Okay.
I love book reviews. Okay. Well, let's dive in. We all love, we're curious people, so we love reading. But welcome back. This is Building Wealthy Habits. My name's Laura Lee. I work here at Tricord Advisors. And to the right of me is Jeremiah Lee and Randy Barkley. And we're so excited to have you here today. So today we want to talk about financial planning, but topics that are specific to physicians, those in the medical field.
Yeah.
So we've got several topics we want to talk about today. So I'm just going to kind of throw it out there. Where would you like to start?
Well, I think just starting that this is an exciting topic. I mean, physicians are very specific, and we'll talk through some of those items. But anyone who's a high income earner is going to run into some of these similar problems.
Right.
You know, they're busy. They have good income, which also means they have high taxes. Mm-hmm. They have opportunities to do things in the future, but you have to kind of lay that path. So I think this is an exciting topic to me. I think there's a lot of value that a financial advisor adds to the life of a physician or someone else who has a vision of where they want to get to, but they have a busy life. They have high income. It's a great place for planning.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the biggest issue with a physician is that they obviously are very capable individuals and they're very learned. They have a tendency to believe that they can do their own finances. And it's kind of a joke out there in the industry that physicians, if you want to make sure an investment is a bad investment, just follow a physician because they have a tendency to make impulsive decisions. And those of our clients that are physicians, we've kind of walked them through the process. But oftentimes they've had a history where they've had really some really humbling experiences.
Hard parts, That's great. So we'll jump right in. I think the number one piece of advice and that for any physician that comes on is to take care of their future finances is date night, which is a funny item.
That's
right?
Not a financial thing.
Right? No, it's totally out. But
it could be beneficial.
You're right. And we see,
is this just for physicians?
No, it's anybody.
Okay, all right, great. Date nights are a plus.
And the reason this comes out is divorce is the number one destroyer of wealth in that type of a household. And not to mention the family and the interpersonal costs. But physicians are busy. They work hard. They're bright. And
long hours.
Long hours. And it's a toll on all members of the family. But they also have good resources. And so with that, like to really focus on, as you're building your wealth, keeping that family together and keeping that family moving forward is probably the best piece of advice.
Yeah, that's an interesting place to start. I certainly thought we were going to start talking about investments and finance, but date night.
I think it's, but we've had,
in your relationship.
Yeah, we have a number of physician clients who are together. We have a number who have divorced and
it's a
traumatic moment.
It's hard. I mean, it's hard because they've worked really hard and oftentimes the spouse, the non-physician spouse has sacrificed to allow the physician to go through school, go through residency, to get started in their practice. They've moved, and all of a sudden they find that they have nothing in common anymore, and they're heading towards divorce court, and it's sad.
Right. And even though physicians make really good money, if they get to be, you know, mid-50s and they go through a divorce, neither party feels like they're set up for retirement. Neither party feels like they're in a good position, even though together they would have been.
Right.
So that's number one. The number two that I always jump to is if you have a high income, you're going to have high taxes. And so often we look at what do we need to do now to, one, set them up for success, but also deal with that income, deal with those taxes.
Some tax planning strategies. Yeah.
But you've also got a physician who is new out of school. And oftentimes they're struggling with a high debt load. They've got school and student loans and such like that. Their income is higher. In paying off student debt, there you get no tax advantages for writing a check to the loan company, whoever the loan is from. So you have this balance, and I always look at the loan that you've done. You look at yourself as a business. So the question is that loan was a key. It's like if you're in a business, you're buying inventory, you're buying a building, you're buying whatever. that's, it's almost the same way when you're a physician. Like you're going to be making a lot of money. So how do you structure that? And so that you pay that loan off, you manage it over time. Oftentimes physicians want to get rid of it right away. Well, it terrorizes your cash flow. Tax-wise, it's horrible. So you have to be able to balance that over time. And there's ways to do that is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. They just see that debt is, I got to get rid of that debt. I got to get rid of that debt. I'm like, no.
Sure, because kind of nagging at them.
We look at your investment in your education and what you've gone through. It's like buying a business. It's like any other economic investment that you would make if you looked at it from a business standpoint. Debt on a building, buying inventory, you would look at that same way. Mm-hmm. And a physician has a tendency not to do that, right? Mm-hmm. So
interesting.
And for some physicians, I think, aggregating their debt, transitioning their debt,
right?
There's times where you'd want to look into that. There's other times where they have a government program,
right?
And that's the best place just to let it sit. And so I think debt is a very unique item that's person to person. We met with a physician earlier this week as a potential new client, and they have zero debt, just the way things have happened. And so that's not an issue for them.
Right.
But for the majority of young physicians, debt repayment is a major part of it. And you're right. Just to devote all their resources to that is going to push off buying a house, buying into a practice, providing for kids, all the things that they also need to be doing at the same time.
Yeah. Good point. Because what I appreciated about our meeting with that young physician, in terms of young in their career, they were also a young person, but she happened to have no debt, which was fantastic. But she wasn't yet stepping into the income that she expects to earn, because she was still in the midst of residency and then a fellowship program. It's like an incremental lockstep advance in her income. So she knew what she was going to make over the next 4 years, but it wasn't what she anticipates making in the long term. And what I appreciated was she was coming to us to say, I kind of just want to get on the right footing here. I want to structure things so that going forward, I know where to put the money. I hear my friends talk about this. Disability insurance, Roth IRAs. So I appreciated that she was just curious and really willing to learn, but wanted to get set up with the right structure from the get-go.
Why don't we transition a little to talk about structures? And we talk about high income planning, they have a good income, and kind of talk about what structures make sense. And the first one I always think about is the retirement planning.
Right.
To say any money that physician could put into their retirement is going to avoid taxes and it's going to support their future. So it's a really good lever. And that is, as you dive into that, if they work for a hospital, there's really not a whole lot of flexibility. It's simply what the hospital has set up. Mm-hmm. Often they have some pretty decent plans, but not always. So it's usually a 401k type structure or 403b if it's a nonprofit hospital, but generally a 401k that the physician can put in a little bit over $20,000 into the account is generally what they can do. And then some employers have a match, 3% to 5%, something along those lines.
And if you're looking at income, if you come out of the blocks and you're making $250,000, $350,000 a year or more, the amount of money that you can put into a 401k seems minuscule. Like it has the impact on reducing taxes that you want.
Good point.
And we have it's interesting because we have had several clients who've come out of that situation. They didn't realize how much they could make in private practice or in some other form of partnership.
Yeah.
And they're surprised. And we talked to them about some of the plans that are available to those kinds of situations.
Retirement plans.
And they could put in a lot of money.
Yeah.
We can define benefit plans, solo 401ks. There's different ways that we can structure it. Substantially more than the contribution to a 401k, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have someone putting in, $60,000 to even $200,000 into some of these different retirement structures is not uncommon.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But the unique part about physicians is, you have the one version where they just work for a hospital. They get a W-2 paycheck.
They're an employee.
They work at a hospital. That's kind of limited to the 401k that they're set up with. But to your comment, a lot of even emergency room physicians at times are not just a W-2 employee of the company. They can actually have their own practice, their own medical practice corporation in the midst of working with a hospital.
And you've helped several of our clients set up their corporation and get it set up so that structure. So, and then we work with administrators to help structure these plans. Mm-hmm. And I think it's eye-popping to some of the clients when they realize, they ask the question, I can put in how much?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you lay out what they can lay. I said, we can get rid of most of your income. and put it in. And is that the wise thing to do? I said, you know, it's going to affect your cash flow.
Yep.
You know, or it depends on your age, but that's where the planning comes in. You start to see how this works out over time. And we want to take away the aspect of the investment and the financial planning, allow them to focus on their practice and doing what they're doing for their patients. Yep.
Right.
And that structure to your comment, once we look how the doctor's working, how they're set up, we put in these appropriate structures, whether it's a doctor corporation with a retirement plan built into it. But now that structure is there, that sets on the path to say, okay, I know X amount of dollars is going that direction.
Right.
That's set. And then we look at the other pieces. So the next one after retirement, we might look at charitable giving to say, are you charitably minded? Is this something that you care about either now or in the future? A lot of doctors are going to charity events. They're making donations.
They're an easy target.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're kind of walking around with a target on their heads.
They're an easy target. So they're obviously, and it's almost expected of them to participate in those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And the question is how do they participate without, it depends if they're midterm or, end of practice, so to speak, they've got more revenue and things like that, but they're an easy target. They have a tendency to be more resilient to say no.
Yeah.
But at the same point in time, most doctors have a passion for their work and they have a passion to help people.
Yeah.
So,
and with that, with setting up whatever structure is appropriate,
right.
There's no number of ways to kind of decouple their charitable giving from their taxes. And we might say, hey, this person needs some tax breaks, but they don't have anything to give to this year, but they might next year. There's a few structures we can put in place to give them that lever to benefit their taxes. The next piece, as we look at these different structures, is their investing.
Yeah.
Is say as they build up extra revenue and they put it into their investments, it would be a big bummer to them if they made, say they're making $300,000 in revenue. And on the other side, they made an extra $50,000 in income revenue that they weren't expecting.
Investment income,
Right? And so how those investment accounts get managed is a really important piece, is that for someone who has high income now, we don't want to be triggering all sorts of income throwing
short-term capital gains. Yeah.
We also don't want this massive buildup so that later they can't touch their money.
Right.
So it's a bit of an art to manage these investments in ways that they're growing quickly, they're growing in ways that are appropriate to build this client's future, but at the same time are not having a tax impact that's going to derail their already high tax
burden. Yeah, and again, I think I come from a time frame when partnership interests and tax write-off plans were prevalent that are back in the 80s. And the biggest investors in those were typically physicians. And most of those programs blew up because they were all based upon creating tax loss passed through to the physician. So you were getting multiple write-offs. So if you were investing $50,000, you could get $200,000 write-off on your income. And what happened in 1986, and that was during the Reagan administration, they basically said, no, you can't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. And a lot of programs had been invested into real estate with these high write-off issues, and they almost all of them blew up. And people that were walking around like kind of licking their wounds, I invested this money and now it's gone. I said, yeah, pretty much. And so again, you have to be very careful about what you trust and what you believe in. Again, traditional fundamental investing and financial planning works for the long run. And there is no shortcut, so to speak.
Yeah. The magic investment that makes you money and gets rid of your taxes.
Right.
That's right. The other piece after we kind of talked about this structuring you want to get in place is just the busy schedule of physicians. And it's not something that has to do with the math of their life, but it has a lot to do with the reality of how they deal with their life and their finances. And for our purposes, we meet at times early mornings. We can meet in the evenings. You've met with a number of people on Saturdays.
Don't advertise that out too much, right?
Don't advertise.
But it doesn't always have to be in person either, which can make it more convenient as well.
Physician schedules, and depending on what their practice is, oftentimes their schedules are really demanding from the normal, Monday through Friday. So if you're bringing in a physician as a client, what I've recognized is that you're going to have to be flexible for them. Yeah. I mean, in order to be the best
accommodating
counselor, counselor.
And I think available.
I think anyone who is a physician that's looking for an advisor, that's a key part to talk about. If you're going to a big, some of these big investment houses, broker dealers, that people work normal hours and they do normal things. And if you can't be available from 9 to 5 that might not be the best fit. To your comment, Laura, with technology, that's becoming easier and easier.
Yeah.
It can be Zoom meetings, there can be Teams meetings, there can be ways that you connect with your advisor, you know, either off hours or throughout the day. But I think it's a really key consideration to say, when am I actually going to be able to get sit down and get this advice? Because doctors, like you said, being bright, they've got questions, they've got ideas, they heard something in the water cooler, and it usually takes some healthy discussion to get through, is this the right fit for you?
Right.
Is this idea good for you? And if it's not, what else might still, you know, solve that same concern, whether it's taxes or income or investing or
I think one of the things is when these people with very demanding schedules, physicians and other professionals come in, we want to make the time that we spend with them as productive as possible. And so sometimes that takes a little bit of preparation, both on their part and on ours. So we know, okay, we're coming to this meeting. Here's sort of the agenda that we've laid out, but they really can get the most out of that time with us when they come and bring their questions. Now they can call us anytime. That's part of us wanting to be available. So if they have one-off questions or a situation, liability issue, something that comes up at work, we want to review that with them. But we really seek, once they're an established client, to make that progress appointment as productive as possible. Now, when they're just an initial appointment, we're just meeting them. Oftentimes the distance between appointment one and appointment two can be lengthy. Most of that has to do with the demand on their time, and it's kind of data gathering on our side. And that can be difficult.
Yeah, it just doesn't become top of mind for them.
Sure.
So it has to be purposeful that they're going to develop something long run. And it takes an investment on their part to be able to go through that process, and also in ours to get the base down. And most people don't realize it takes a long time to get that base, all the information that's necessary in that base. Right. Gathered and collected and put the data into the plan. And it also takes time for the client, the physician, to go through that data with you. That is not a one and done type of thing. Yep. It is a dynamic process that's ongoing all the time.
Yeah. A lot of what we do is organizing. They might have multiple accounts. If it's a dual income home, you've got multiple different retirement accounts, et cetera. It takes time to really consolidate. And I feel like a lot of our role right from the outset is just trying to kind of organize the information, find what gaps we have, et cetera. Yeah. So we try to set those expectations in that first meeting. I am for our listeners too, that it just sometimes that first sort of lift can be a little heavy.
And I think for physicians, often they're not coming like the one that the initial we just had, they were coming in early in their career. There wasn't a lot of complexity. And so that lift is not very, very meaningful. I would say the majority of our physician clients that come in, they come in when they've been practicing for 10 years or so. And in that time, maybe they worked at an initial hospital and now they're at a secondary hospital. So they had an old 401k that's just out there. They may have invested with some friends. They may have bought a boat. They may, you know, there's a number of things that they've already done that make their life a bit complex. And that gathering really does, it's a huge value to get everything organized, but it does take some time to get everything organized together, and then the new structure set up and the new vision kind of laid out.
And I think, kind of bridging that conversation, most physicians at some point in time are going to run into business. They're going to start forming either on by themselves or start entering into some partnerships or some structure where they now not just acting as a physician and getting paid for the services that they're rendering, but now they're in business with partners.
Yeah.
And how that structure, of course, that falls right in your lap because you help people. What kind of business and what is the partnership agreement? What is the corporation structure going to look like, right?
Yeah, where the financial advising and financial planning and investing meets the legal advice. I mean, that's what we're able to do with my background being an attorney. But as we walk into that, you're right. Most physicians move away from just being providers of medical care and also being business owners in the sense of either owning a practice, either owning real estate. I say the most common, especially when doctors move into private practice, is that they move into partnership ownership with the practice. They move into being an employer now of multiple nurses and other staff. They also often will buy their own building, and so they become landlords, and their life just got a little more complicated.
Wear lots of hats.
Yeah, and part of that is when you think of the planning early on, most people, as they go through, they have their different goals and ambitions to say, I want to retire. I want to pay for my kids' college. I want to take some family vacation. They have a number of things they're interested in. But one additional that's going to come up for physicians is kind of having a bit of a nest egg for when they want to enter into partnerships, buy buildings, set up another structure, joint venture type things, because that's often going to come up. There's going to be an opportunity. So using that good cash flow, not just to fund the retirement, all those normal things, which is great, but also setting some of that aside, knowing that there's going to be opportunities in their life to move into some unique ownership structures, and being able to do that. And in the law firm setting, you often had to buy in to become a partner. Doctor settings, often it's two joining together, but there could be times where you have to buy into a practice. There could be times where
you're buying out a retiring physician.
That's right. Taking that
partnership that's right. or whatever.
And so that's a big one, I think, to plan out for physicians specifically is not just in my mind, kind of the normal planning for a high income earner, but also knowing that as you move down the road in your career, you're going to have some probably great opportunities that you want to be able to say yes to. Mm-hmm. And yes, will come with a price tag of being able to afford that.
Yeah. And just kind of dovetail on that. The thing that I find the most frustrating is that a physician, and it's just kind of a, and I don't want to make this a stereotype of all physicians, but oftentimes they enter into an agreement and they haven't really put the final details on that partnership agreement. They kind of put it down almost like an outline, and then they move forward. And all of a sudden we're down 20 years down the road. And where is that agreement, right? And nobody's monitored it. Nobody has brought that up and talked about it on a regular basis. What happens if somebody gets sick, if somebody dies, if somebody wants to leave, somebody gets divorced. And it's like, it's as though, well, we'll talk about that when it happens. Yeah. It is the worst time to do that when it happens, right?
We have a client right now who's a physician who's walking through exiting. He's retiring, but all the details of who owes who what and who gets to walk away with what, all that is a bit blurry because there wasn't good agreements in place that helped clarify what was going
on. Yeah, and it didn't seem pertinent probably at the time.
And the structure, I mean, the difficulty there is that we started talking with him almost 10 years ago about this. And it's amazing to me, the other physicians say, well, we'll take care of it later. Well, later's now.
Yeah.
Later is not 10 years from now. Later is right now. And it's hard to motivate people to make those tough choices now, and they need to be done. And an event like death or disability or departure in some way becomes that event that becomes it. That's where people start suing each other over this stuff, right?
Right.
Now, well, I understood that, and you said this, and you said that. Well, we want to avoid all that because that is a very expensive outcome.
That's right. Well, even death is a great one. If there's a death in some of these structures, it becomes a little chaotic, and what do we do? If there's some good planning, some key man insurance, some good insurance policies, it can be a real seamless process where they're caring for the widow, they're caring for the family, and there's plenty of finances to address this. But without planning, it can become a mess, and depending on what every doctor is in that partnership, where they're at otherwise in their life.
So death is a great illustration, but it's not a great outcome. You said, oh, that's a good outcome.
Ah! Oh, sorry. Great illustration, not an outcome.
But no, I think tying back to what you said at the very beginning, you talked about the importance of the relationship. And I think not just about the family relationship for the physician, but his professional relationships as well. You know, for a physician who's spent time in the industry, has experience, they've developed a reputation. So, you know, you see some of these partnerships that go through difficulty. Well, that's going to impact the reputation of both physicians or however many are involved going forward. So there's still this emphasis on relationship. And ultimately, I think when we meet with them, our goal is to align the professional and the personal together to make sure that we're seeing holistically both and developing a strategy for both.
Yeah. And in fact, the physician to have someone that they trust, you know, they're not trying to figure it out themselves, but rather they say, oh, I'm going to talk. I'm going to ask all my questions. We're going to think through this together. But ultimately, I trust the advice I'm getting so I can move forward confidently and run their life.
And this is a space where they can ask all the questions and they don't have to have all the answers all the time because in their regular field, they have to have all the answers. Yeah. And so, you know, we're not a partner of theirs in the sense of business partner. So we get to be the supportive partner.
And again, I think the relationship, and I want to make sure that we emphasize this really strongly, is that our relationship with our clients is advisory. Mm-hmm. And how important that is for a physician and a group of doctors, that you have an advisory, you have counsel that is really looking at the best outcome for you. And we're not in the business of selling product. We're not in the business of trying to create a partnership or, you know, something you invest in that we're going to participate in. It is what is the best for you, what is best for that group. And it's very satisfying work when it all comes together, you know, when you get that kind of buy-in by everybody, right?
Yeah,
that's good. Well, this has been Building Wealthy Habits. We do this each week. We meet together. We talk about key topics, things that impact people's lives. If you have a topic you'd like us to discuss, you can send us an email at contact@tricordadv.com. And if anyone in your life or yourself, you need an ally in your finances, that's what we're here for. We'd love to hear from you.
Until next week, folks. May you grow in wisdom and knowledge. Thank you for listening. Another one in the can. I think there's enough there to sort out.
27 minutes.